Kalam Swan, the voice of women in South Sudan, with me, Lucia John, every Wednesday between 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Kalam Swan, let us make a difference.
Hello, good morning and welcome to the program Kalam Nuswan on Radio Miraya. Kalam Nuswan is a weekly program that comes to you every Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. In the program today, we shall take a special focus on empowerment of girls and specifically the value of education and peace building. We want to understand the work of Hope for Girls Africa organization and to know what they are doing to empower girls through education. You can listen to us on Radio Mira on air, and you can also follow us online. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on X. Our X handle is at Radio Miraya. I'm Tidio Betty, taking you through the program. And today in Kalam Nuswan, we have our guest in the studio from Hope for Girls Africa. And the guest we have in the studio, we have Michael Okeno Okot. He is the program coordinator, Hope for Girls Africa. And we have Emma Nyoka, a protection officer, Hope for Girls Africa. I would like to say welcome to my guests in the studio, Emma and Michael. You're all welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, to start with our program of Kalam Nuswan, looking at the name of the organization alone, Hope for Girls Africa, you know, it sounds really great, and it sounds also like, encouraging to the women and girls outside there. So to start with Michael, let's start by understanding the work of what Hope for Girls Africa do in South Sudan. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Before I give the work of Hope for Girls in Africa, I would like to give a brief introduction.
Welcome.
Hope for Girls in Africa is an indigenous national organization that aims to empower girls and young women to live a dignified life devoid of violence through education and socioeconomic empowerment. Now, the work for Hope of Girls in Africa, you have to focus on the education, because when you look statistically on the girls' education in South Sudan, mm-hmm. girls who go to school are lagging behind at around 28%. And the overall literacy rate of South Sudanese population is around 34.5. That leaves about 65.5 population uneducated. So we are trying to bridge the gap to make sure that girls have access to education, provide the basic needs for them, those who are lacking, of course, mm-hmm. and also to award them with some needs, those who perform better at school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, coming to Nyoka, why is the focus of your organization specifically on girls' education and peace building?
Yeah, thank you once again for having us. Our organization is focusing most on girls because currently, basically in South Sudan, girls are the most unprivileged people. They are taking they are taking girls to be a commodity. Someone raised them, and at the end of it, he sells them off for dowry and stuff. Majority, we had some small interviews and like passing through education. We've been with girls and a lot. They are the main people suffering. That's why we chose. And I was in Lighthouse International, where our director used to tell us that to educate a boy is to educate an individual, but to educate a girl means you educate a nation. Girls has a lot. That's why basically we go for girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, coming back to Michael, as we know, girls are everywhere in South Sudan, in the rural areas, in the town. And maybe let me say in the town, yes, those ones may have a little bit of chance to get education. So where do you focus your work? Which areas do you cover in South Sudan?
Currently, we are based in Juba because the organization was founded in Juba last year. Mm. So, as they say, charity begins at home. So we are starting from Juba here. And once we are in position to reach out to those in rural areas and other parts of the states and administrative areas, we can be in position to help them. But the most important thing is starting to do something. Mm-hmm. At least we are doing something right now. And with time, we will be in position to reach out to those one in rural areas and other parts of South Sudan.
Do you have a specific time of maybe when you're able to reach those areas?
Yeah, we also have a goal. We have to make sure that by the end of this year, we would have covered most of the schools in Juba that need our help, and we will reach to the states. Mm-hmm. Last year, we were about to reach Western Barrel Ghazal and Warabi State and Jonglei. But the funds were not enough, so we didn't make it. But for this year, we are trying our best to make sure that we reach out to those ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Nyoka, can you tell us, since the start of your work, as Michael mentioned, that the organization started last year, since the start of your work, what was the achievement we can count on so far?
Thank you. The achievement so far, we went to some schools of which we did some mentorship program with the girls, and we distributed for them some needs. Like we went so far to sit with the girls and ask them what they are lacking. You understand what they need, mm-hmm. and what so far can help them to go through education. Some were telling us books, some were saying pens and stuff. We were able to afford some stuff, and we take them back to the school. The way are happy, and it's not just as a mentorship program, but it's for them to boost their morale. Some, like, basically we give those books, pens, and body lotions, and a shop for those senior students. For there, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That is to boost the first year, second year studies that I need to do better to reach that one, also to do it another way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, additionally to what you just said, the mentorship program is open to all the students, but we are focusing mostly on those students in Senior 4 and Senior 3 that are about to leave the school so that they are preparing to join the university. So it's basically like career guidance or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have looked at it a little bit about the education aspect of it. What about the peace building aspect of it?
Yeah, you cannot talk about education without mentioning peace, because when you look globally, the most educated people, they are highly tolerant to one another. They can tolerate. So if you are talking about peace building, you have to talk about education. Educated population can easily understand among themselves, they can live together and they coexist together. So educated population will be definitely a peaceful society.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and then coming to look at the criteria of the selecting the people you're working with, how do you come to identify that this is the group we want to work with, or these are the schools that we want to work with?
The selection is based on the, you go to schools, you reach out to the management of the school, for instance, you go to the head teacher, mm-hmm. and see the overall hygiene of the school and the overall hygiene of the students. And when you identify them, you will be in position to help them.
So, like, how many schools are you partnering, or are you working with in Juba?
So far, we have reached out to Stone Charity Schools, that is primary and secondary school. We also reach to Atlabara Secondary Schools and Darling Wisdom. Darling Wisdom is yet to be achieved, probably next month or by June.
Well, Emma, what are some of the barriers when it comes to girls' education and empowerment?
The barriers we normally get is it's a charity organization. When you call someone and be like, help me do this, it's free. It's kind of hard to achieve it. Yeah. And for the girls also, for you to convince a girl to come and attend a program, like, for instance, the mentorship program, is very hard.
Mm-hmm.
You first call them, at the end of it, they'll be like, you guys are not paying us. What's the profit? What am I getting at the end? Then others, like, for instance, in some school, they are lucky to have girls' club, where it was normally conducted on Wednesday and Friday, yeah? And girls club, during the girls club, boys were being released, like, to go home, and they leave the girls only at home, at school, to attend the girls club. Some parents will not understand it. Like, at some point, a parent will know that my daughter normally comes home at 3:30. But on Thursday, when she happens to go home at 4:30, that one raised a conflict. Where were you? How come your colleagues came up early and you like to explain to the parents exactly what we are doing with the kids? It's hard. And for a girl to accept the fact that I matter, and to be able to tell to her dad or mom that I was in a school because of A, B, C, D, it's really hard. It's willingly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
So, Michael, how are you able to overcome some of these challenges?
The challenges is really hard, and that's one of the reasons why we are here, to create awareness, especially to the parents. If, for instance, your girl is selected for those kind of program, you have to give them enough time, because the reason why most of the girls are educated is not their own choice. Sometimes it's parental situations. The groups, the category that we are targeting, we have girls that did not attend school completely. We are trying to bring those one in the program, and those who dropped out. It's quite challenging, but we are planning to launch a accelerated learning program, ALP, for those ones, so that instead of 8 years in primary, they can be taken only 4 years. That's how A-level works. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that you're targeting girls who dropped out and those ones who are, you know, who were not able to go to school. So what about those ones who are in school? How do you encourage them to ensure that they do not reach to that extent of dropping out?
That's why we provide mentorship program and some motivation for the best performing student. Mm-hmm. And this motivation is not at all the time. Sometimes we go and then we just select all the girls in a cluster and then we provide the needs. That's what we did in Eastern Charity Schools last year. Mm-hmm. It was not based on merit, but all the student girls, they deserve to be helped.
Well, you know, sometimes some people have the belief that some of these local NGOs, they only go and support schools that they are somehow attached to, or where some of their relatives are, you know, they are studying, or schools that are owned by their relatives. So how can you convince the public outside that the schools that you are supporting are not in any way linked to you or your relatives?
Okay, thank you. Let me start first. Eh? Mm-hmm. That's true, because I remember we went to a school in Gudele. Mm. Willingly, me and my colleague, she's not there. She's not here, actually. We went there, and we happened to speak with the director. By then, we were on holidays. Yeah, we spoke with him on mentorship program. Like, willingly, we want to sit with the girls, ask them the challenges they are facing, right? Mm-hmm. He was telling us that it's a good thing that we came up with that idea. Actually, girls are having a lot in the school. He also promised to put our program in the timetable and promised to get back to us. But as I speak to you right now, they never called. Reason being too, I think they might have misunderstood that at the end of the program, we'll need something from them. But all we just needed to do was to sit with those young girls and understand their challenges that they are facing. Because we are also girls, like, you get. We've been through education, through secondary school, through primary. We know the challenges we're facing. And we got lucky because by then we have mentors. It could be moms, aunties, and some role models. Like, for instance, mine is so much, I'm like, I like, and someone who is my role model currently in Juba is Dr. Yolanda, the Minister of Health. I admire her a lot. Yeah, we had those things, and we agree with ourselves that we matter. That's why we are doing it. We want them to also see it that way. That's what I can say.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
to add to that one, to prove that we are helping schools regardless of whether they are related or connected to us in any way. Mm-hmm. The organization itself is formed by people from various communities, so we cannot be related to any school in any way. So it's just their luck, or those that are lucky that we reach out to them, they will be helped regardless of where they come from. Because even at schools, you cannot find that all the students or the pupils are from the same community. It does not exist. Like at school, people coexist together regardless of where they come from.
Okay, well, you're still listening to the program Kalam Nuswan on Radio Maria that comes to you every Wednesday from 9 to 10 a.m. I'm Tidio with you, and today with us in the studio we have Michael Okeno Okot, the program coordinator, Hope for Girls Africa, and we have Emma Nyoka, protection officer, Hope for Girls Africa. And today we are looking at girls' education and peace building. So soon we shall be opening our lines, and if you have a question to the guest in the studio, you'll be able to have a chance to have the question or a comment on the program of discussion today. First, let's go for a break.
Broadcasting from the heart of the nation's capital, this is Radio Miraya 101 and 101.5 FM. Radio Maria, the voice of peace.
Yes, welcome back from that break, and you're still listening to the program Kalam Nuswan. I'm Tidio Betty, and today we are looking at girls' empowerment and specifically the value of education and peace building. And as I mentioned earlier on, today with me in the studio we have Michael Opoka, Michael Okeno Okot from Hope for Girls Africa, and we have Emma Nyoka, Protection Officer, Hope for Girls Africa. So today we are discussing girls' empowerment, empowering girls through education. So to start with, Michael, there's the slogan that said education cannot wait. Can you highlight a little bit about that?
Yes, it's true. Education cannot wait, because the population, the overall population of South Sudan is one of the lowest literacy rate in the world. It's possibly one of the worst, probably. So we don't need to spend much of the time, because the reason as to why most of this population is not educated is because of the war that have ravaged the country for more than, 40 years or 50 years. So right now that we have peace at our hand, we have to make sure that we pull up our socks and make sure that we educate our population. And it has to start with people, the very few people who are educated, myself included, and the organization at large. The education cannot wait theme comprised of three things. Number one is awareness, and this is basically what we are doing right now. We have to make sure that we create awareness to the population that need to be educated, and to the shareholders or the stakeholders and donors, probably, if the well-wishers come in and help us, because we cannot do this thing alone. And the third phase is implementation of the program. We have a time frame. We want to make sure that we achieve our goals in the next 2 years, at least to change the statistic of the literacy population in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, now looking at the long-term benefit of your program to the youth and the girls' education, what do you think are the benefits of what you're carrying to the entire youth, not specifically girls' child? Let's hope that, you know, we need to empower the youth. Yeah, Emma?
Yeah, to basically like what he said, we are reaching out to them, we are informing them about their rights to choose who they are, to identify their identity. If you know who you are and you accept it from within, you'll be able to acknowledge that there is also someone who has the right, who needs to be heard. Yeah.
And additionally, to add to that one,
mm-hmm.
the youth, they are, like they say, that the youth are the future of the country. When you look at those who are educated, the 34.5%, most of them are youth. That means our old population, they are really lagging behind. But if there is a way we can help them, we can help them. But basically, we have to start with the youth, because an educated youth is more energetic and they can be in position to reach out to the older one and pull them up together, and we devolve as a country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's now time you can call us in the studio and have your question, or you can have your comments to us in the studio, or a question to the guest in the studio. The number to call is 0929-686297. That's the number you can call and have your questions on air. And as well, you can send an SMS to 0912-177141. That's the line to send your text message. But remember, only send your text message in English, because if it's in Arabic, it may not be able to be read out to the public. So the lines are open. You can now dial in and call in. Well, coming back to my guest in the studio, what should we expect to see in terms of girls' empowerment in the future? We start with Emma.
Our goals, like our vision.
Mm-hmm.
Our vision is that we want to make sure we create a good environment in the society where a girl or a woman can express their feelings. Yeah.
Also, we have to make sure that girls are free from the gender-based violence. They also have access to education, because our girls are lagging behind a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the village, you find that a potentially primary aid student is already married out to 50-year-old man or 40-year-old man. So we have to make sure that we pull up the narratives and try to change the narratives to make sure that these girls access education and be in position to change their lives. At least if we change the lives of individuals, we change the country, because all of us, we are made up of individuals. But if we pull up together individually, all of us can do better.
You know, Michael, people, sometimes some people in the community, or especially in the rural areas, they do say that our mothers were not educated, and for us, we were living, you know, successfully. So why do you think it's really important to talk about girls' education, to empower girls, to educate girls?
It's really important, because the overall country cannot evolve if, for instance, the girls are not educated. There's a saying that when you educate a girl, you educate a country. One educated mother, for instance, if you have one influential honorable or someone who is very important in Juba here, goes to those girls in the village or to the parents and talk to them, they will listen. So you see the power of educating one woman. They can be in position to influence decision making and all that. So
mm-hmm.
that is it. If we are to do it, we have to at least incorporate those who are educated, and they see benefit for themselves. At least they admire people who come from Juba, by the way. This is one thing. You go to your village where you come from and you are from Juba, people look after you. So they will listen to you, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Emma, do you want to add something?
Yeah, from the idea of education is basically to address injustice. You get? In history, we know our leaders who really fought for because of slavery, and they were able to break that bandage through education. They were able to discover their differences and know what they stand for. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Let's get to know. Hello? Sabah al Nur Marhab, Munumana?
James,
Marhab.
برنامج كويس جدا تحية بداية بمسي لديه في الستيديو برنامج تتعليم ما بطال لكن حاجة عندنا نسأل ليه باقي أبوها تانينا أو باقي أمها تانين بودي بنات بتوعهم لسه في عمر لسه ما تيمو في زمن بتجوزة نمرة اثنين في بنات سكر كده يعن بتفق ما مراجل ما ولد هنا كان بعدين عملوا خبام الأفايشة أو بطلع جانا برا أو برمرات أو بامشي أتان توا عشان هما بقدر يقولي دول بتومن شنو اللي نزل بعمل في الحجاز
Okay, شكراً لك جيمس لسؤال تاكي. So that's from James. He's asking about girls who may get pregnant and they may decide to terminate the pregnancy. What can you say about that? And also those parents who give out their girls for marriage at an earlier age. So before we could come to answer that question, I wanted to know, because this is, let me say, still a young organization which is coming up. As you said, it's about a year or a year and a half or coming to 2 years now. What lessons have you learned from other organizations that have been working in the area of promoting girls' education, empowering girls, that you are going to apply to ensure that the success is achieved?
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me start by answering his question, the second one on pregnancy and abortion. Thank you so much, James from Tony. Those girls that got pregnant and they terminate the pregnancy, that is abortion, we can at least provide emotional support to those ones. But if we can reach out to them in time, then it can be accessed, because the decision to make an abortion from a medical personnel perspective is not easy. It's only if the child is at risk or the mother herself is at risk. So we don't really advise that they should be aborting children unless it is necessary in that context. And why are parents marrying out their girls? You know, it's very hard. That one is, it requires collective effort to address it. At our organization level, we can try and try and try, but it has to be, it boils down to a personal decision making. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Yeah. About the challenges, it's not easy to convince or to educate children, because traditionally our girls are valued as a source of wealth. Our girls are married up. For instance, if a boy is having his sister, that boy can go to school and the sister remains at home. Once the girl is married, he can come back and use those wealth to marry also for himself. So it's very hard. We are trying to reach out to make sure that girls are not married out early, because the longer they stay at school, for instance, if she reached by the age of 25, we can be sure that that girl has already completed university. That's if they access school at an early age. So we advocating for them to at least stay at school through awareness. This is what we are doing right now. Yeah, education cannot wait. It's one of the things we are doing.
Well, Michael, I was asking the question that, okay, there are organizations that have tried in promoting girls' education, empowering girls, but still, you know, the achievement is low. So what is it that you're going to do differently to ensure that you join these other organizations in achieving the you know, the praise of empowering girls or achieving girls' education and empowering them?
You know, it's not easy to address, because we have organizations that were tackling girls' education. One of them is ANAFI. ANAFI is an organization that normally give incentives to girls. At least these incentives keeps girls at school. So if we are in position to do like what ANAFI is doing, then we can be able to at least keep girls at school longer than they would if they were not motivated. Yeah.
Okay, you can call us on 0929-686297 and have your questions or comment to the guest in the studio. And today we are looking at empowering girls through education and peace building. And the guest with me in the studio, we have Michael Okeno Okot, the program coordinator, Hope for Girls Africa. And we have Emma Nyoka, the protection officer, Hope for Girls Africa. Well, Emma, do you have something to add on in regards to the question from James?
Yeah. I will go. Let me start with the second question, girls' decision to life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When a girl is growing up and she happens to be in a large family, where a girl, you have to just do domestic work, go to school and come back and wait until you are of age to be married, she will lack a lot of things. Like, for instance, in those days back, it's also good to have stories with grandmothers. They used to say a lot about girls' decision to life. They were like, you just have to be there, be obedient to your mother or your grandmother. Then when you're of age, they now teach you of how to handle your home because you're going to be married often and stuff.
Mm.
We normally comes in and we talk it like on our chest, like we comes in to mentor those girls, like what we said, we go to different schools to mentor them, is for them to know the advantages and the disadvantages. Like majority, we normally jumped into the advantages. I'm in school. After school, I'm going to be married. I'm going to have a home and start having my kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the disadvantages of if you're not living life right, there are some things that you get on the alongside the way. Then on the first questions about parents' hands on their daughters in marriage is really tricky, because basically in Juba, some people normally, when you talk to them, they listen. But in the remote areas, they'll be like, we've been there. Like, we grew up in that stage whereby if a girl reach of age, we just marry her off. And you have nothing to do or to say about it because she is our daughter and stuff. It's really tricky. But we are not giving up. As as what my colleague said, we are not giving up. We are also planning to have a campaign where, if possible, we sit with the parents themselves, not only the girls, but with the parents. We sit with them and we also mentor them on some things that they really need to do on their daughters.
That would help a lot, sitting down with the parents, because the decision makers mm-hmm. in their houses most of the time.
Exactly. Yes. And looking at that area of including the parents. Mm. You know, in South Sudan, we have a lot of traditional beliefs, mm. and people consider the community, the chiefs, the elders, as the final people in the house. So how would you work to change that mindset in the community? Do you think it's an easy task?
It's not easy, but we cannot say that it cannot be done.
Exactly.
We have to make sure that we give it our best try and reach out to the community, and maybe they will listen to us and they will change the narratives.
Mm-hmm.
At least we cannot do it alone. We have mm-hmm. to reach out to them and see it from their own perspective, and we give them also what we think would be the best alternative as to what they are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, we also have that same mindset, especially with some girls who grew up in the rural areas. They believe that their work is only to be in the family, keep the family, take care of their brothers and sisters who are younger. So, what can you tell them?
It's those girls who grow up in those communities, the conditioning or the thinking that they came to embody is societal thing that they saw as the only thing available to them. Mm-hmm. But if they can access alternative message, something that sounds better, like we are doing right now, then we can be in position to change things for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I add, please?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Thank you. That takes us back to education, one of the achievements we made so far, like sitting with the girls and helping them empower the power within them. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people outside there I'm lucky that we were able to be online and for some people to hear us. The thing is, if you're going through something, you feel like the world is all against you, basically for girls. You grow up in that society. You have that burning desire inside you, but there is no one. You feel like no one is listening to you. You're just doing that for your family. But if we were able to, like, to reach to some girls, and you know what they say? There was, like, they didn't know that there are people out there who really care to hear what they have to say. You get, yeah? If we reach out, and luckily, like what I just said, we did, there are some girls who are happy and willingly they stood up and they say that I matter and I'm going to do it. No matter what someone said, I'm going to do it. And we are going to help people basically in such situations.
Okay, well, we are left with some few minutes to end this discussion. And if you still want to share your idea, your comments, or you have a question to the guest in the studio, the line is 0929-686297. Or you can send a text message to 0912-1771-41. Those are the lines you can use. And coming back to Michael in the studio, well, we are already in April and we are concluding April, what are the key things that you're going to do within this year to reach out or to empower the girls?
Yeah, we are already left with some few months, probably around 8 months. So by the end of this year, we will have to make sure that we cover most of the schools in Juba in terms of mentorship, mm-hmm. and the motivation that we spoke about earlier. So what we have to do, we have our specific time frame. If we have the funds at hand right now, we can even start tomorrow. But it's not easy. We have to lobby for the funds from the donors, because the organization itself is still young. But we have a bigger vision. We are starting small, but we are reaching out to the entire population of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then looking at the issue of funds, where do you get your funds, and who is supporting you?
That is not an easy question. We are reaching out to the international organization, because we are a national organization. Those international organizations, they would want to do some things, but they cannot involve with the community. So we reach out to them and we implement those kind of projects. That is, if our interests align with them, what they want to do and what we are doing, if they align, they can be in position to help us.
So what does this mean? Does it mean that if you don't get the funds, then there's no work?
It means that we are fighting until we get the funds. We are reaching out to IOM, to ANMIS, you. If they're listening right now, we can reach out to them anytime, but we are trying our best. They have to know that we are here for the community and we are ready to serve anytime.
Okay. Emma?
That goes to membership. In membership, we are open to people of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
If you align with our values of the organization and the code of conducts, we are good to go. Yeah, as long as the purpose is to serve the community.
Okay, as we come to conclude this program, we are just left with about 2-3 minutes to end it. And maybe I come to Michael. What would you like to see for the future of youth and girls in the country in the next 5 years of your work?
Yeah, thank you so much. We are focused much on education, because we believe that with education you can achieve sustainable peace.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of 5 years program, we will have to see that the literacy rate that is very low would have changed to maybe 60% or 50%. That will not be bad for the starting. About a mentorship program, we have to make sure that we are there for those young girls that are still making decisions, because it's not easy to choose where to go and study and what course to go and study, something that at least align with their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So the mentorship program is really important to them, and the literacy rate is what we are fighting so hard to make sure that we educate in our population. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Michael. And Emma, as you work for to promote girls' education, empowering the girls, what's your final words on the importance of supporting girls in South Sudan?
The importance is of supporting girls in South Sudan is that, like what I've just said, when you educate a girl, you educate a nation. Girls normally play a big role in the country. They are not just girls, but they are our future mothers and leaders to be. And we also want to break the gap, we are having now in South Sudan, to be specifically, where we have, let me say, 25% of women that are working up there presenting us. They are presenting us well. But the other thing is that their generation is almost coming to a close, like, let me say, right? But if you see the gap between them and the young girls in school, it's a very big gap. We really need to work on it and to fix it. And the other thing goes to everyone that is listening to us right now is that if we knock at your door at any schools and we offer to mentor the girls, it's not that we are going for funds and we need something in return. We just need to sit with the girls and to get to know them and how best we could help them in our capacity.
Well, Michael, do you want to summarize in just 1 minute or less than 1 minute?
Okay, thank you. Education of girls is really important. I really stick to statistics. I don't know why. But over all population across the country, only 8% of women are educated. Can you imagine how bad that is? So we have to educate these girls because these girls are going to be the next mothers. At least we have to change it to 50%.
Just a quick one. Where did you get that research? Or did you do a research and you found that 8% of the women is educated?
I didn't do a research, but there are sources out there. You can go and look them up. Yeah, credible sources.
Okay. All right, thank you so much for your time to talk to our public out there on girls' education. And I would like to say that by this we have come to the end of our program, Kalam Nusuan, where we have been discussing about empowering girls and through education and peace building. And the guests with me in the studio have been Michael Okeno Okot, who is the program coordinator, Hope for Girls Africa, and we had Emma Nyoka, the protection officer, Hope for Girls Africa. And we had, of course, been looking in areas of how to empower girls in the country. Thank you for being with us. Keep tuned. I've been with you, TDO Betty.